name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, we especially consider Matthew chapter 11, our gospel reading. I'll read again the second half of the reading. As John's disciples went away back to John to tell him what they had seen and heard from Jesus, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Dear saints, what do other people say about you when you and your friends are not around? It's a dangerous question to consider. What do people say about you behind your back? Jesus has a wonderful opportunity to speak poorly about John the Baptist in our reading. John's in prison. What's he going to do? Jesus had just sent John's disciples away. They aren't there anymore. John doesn't have many friends. And the crowd is there. And everyone knows that crowds like a good, juicy story. Just ask the newspapers and the TV news commentaries what gets the highest news rating. Crowds like gossip, whether it's true or false. Now, John certainly had some friends and followers in that crowd. Matthew tells us that all of Judea had once gone out to hear John and to be baptized by him. Some in the crowd were even followers of Jesus now, because John had pointed to them the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he told his followers that he must decrease while Christ must increase. He might have had some friends. But the crowd likely was made up by a lot of people who didn't like John. Calling whole groups brood of vipers. Who warned you of the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. That was John's preaching. And that can get you some enemies. Reproving powerful King Herod for all of the evil things that he had done, like sleeping with his sister-in-law. That can get you some enemies, powerful enemies. John's in prison because of that type of preaching. If Jesus had wanted to gain some major popularity with the crowds for a brief period of time, throwing John under the bus and speaking poorly about him behind his back would have likely been a good strategy. And Jesus probably had some good ammunition, too. John sent his disciples to him, and it seems like John is questioning, doubting, having a little worries about whether Jesus is the one who is to come or should he look for another. John was a powerful and bold preacher, but being in a prison of Herod's dungeon can make anyone seem a little more timid and a little more weak. Come on, John. Can't you take a little suffering? We expect to hear from Jesus at least in, oh, ye of little faith, why do you doubt, John? Why are you so afraid? But when it comes for Jesus to speak about John to other people, Jesus is John's biggest defender. John's not swayed by public opinion, folks, Jesus says. John doesn't wave back and forth. John is strong. John knows what is good and true and beautiful. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? No way. That's not John. Jesus speaks well of John, saying, John didn't come to spend his life focusing on worldly pleasures. John is not removed from the common folk, the poor, the sick, the lonely, the sinners. What then did you go out to see? Jesus says, a man dressed in soft clothing? No way. Behold, those who wear soft clothing sit in kings' houses. Jesus is not ashamed of John. Jesus is not offended by John, by being John's God. Jesus is not ashamed of John's preaching or his person. When it comes to speaking about John to others, Jesus says John is God's messenger, that God had sent John before Jesus' faith. John will prepare Jesus' way. Among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. What a statement. What a tribute that tells us what Jesus truly thinks about John. He's Jesus' messenger. He's Jesus' prophet. He is just Jesus's, really. Jesus isn't ashamed to call John his. John belongs to him. That's what Jesus thinks of John, because that is exactly what Jesus says about John. And so also, dear saints, you. What does Jesus have to say about you? What does Jesus really think about you? Behind your back, you know, in conversation with God the Father and the Spirit, with the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven? Or what does Jesus have to say about you straight to your face or on Judgment Day? What are you going to say that day to the judge of the living and the dead? What does Jesus have to say about you? Do you begin to know the ammunition he could bring about you? What could he say? That you're too often a pushover? That you know the right thing to do and say, and yet you are often swayed by the world and your sinful flesh, a reed shaken by the wind? Or that you're spoiled and yet unthankful? You wear soft clothing and sit in king's houses. You have a pretty easy life, don't you? And all that he has given you, and yet you often whine and complain and don't say thank you often enough. What could he say? All the evil that you have done? All the evil that I have done? All the evil that we have said, especially about other people? What could he say? That we're often disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy, that we've hurt others by our words or deeds, that we've been neglectful and wasteful, that we've lost our temper and we've gossiped, that we're full of doubts and fears despite all that he has done, despite all that he has said and promised. What could he say about you? Does he say that? No. And isn't that amazing? He doesn't say that about you, because that is not what he thinks about you. Isn't that amazing? That when you come to church, you get a window into the heavenly conversation between Christ and the Father and the Spirit. That what is happening when your name is mentioned in heaven among God and between the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven. And when your name is mentioned, there are two words that might summarize that conversation. And that is the word joy and peace. There is joy in heaven at the mention of your name. You are Christ's. You belong to him. You are not his enemy. You are his friend. He likes you. You have been given the gift of His Spirit who enlightens you so that you have begun to see your sin and you want to do better. And even more, you know your Savior. Joy. There is joy in heaven over the repentance of one sinner. There is joy in heaven over you. That's what Jesus thinks of you, because that is how Jesus speaks about you. And there is peace in heaven. God is not mad at you. God does not gossip about you. God does not speak ill of you. Christ has shed His blood. Christ took on the wrath that we deserve. Christ is risen, and He has answered for you. Your sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. God sees you in Christ. God sees you as righteous and holy. He has covered all of your shame, and He also sees you as His beautiful, spotless, without blemish bride. And He loves to hear you. Even when you think your prayers are silly, He loves to hear you. And He loves to see you. Even when you can't stand yourself, He thinks you are precious, fearfully and wonderfully made. Our Lord knows that your enemy, the devil, would love to hear all about your failures, but we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who defends us, who gives the evidence of our goodness in the sight of God, the evidence of His blood shed on the cross. And so, dear saints, with that window into heaven, with what God really thinks about you, Jesus pronounces this blessing. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. So what do you say about God behind His back, as if there is such a thing? What do you really think about Him and His words and the way He is handling His church and the way He is handling this world and the way He is handling your life when He's not around? As if there is such a thing. Jesus says, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. In Christ, dear saints, you are not offended by Him or His words. In Christ, you do desire that you decrease and that He increase. Thy will be done, we pray. In Christ, by the power working through His word and the body and blood that you've received today, God is helping you not be so soft, swayed by the world's opinions or your sinful flesh's desires. For the grass withers and the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely all people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Through that word that is preached to you today, that helps you stand forever. God is helping you not be offended by Him, even when you suffer, because you know there is peace with God, and that works in you a joy, even in suffering. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in Him, His words, His deeds. Go. And tell others what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news preached to them. The poor, like you and like me, good news about what Jesus really thinks about us. And He begins to change our hearts too, and how we really think about each other. And how we speak about each other too. Rejoice in the Lord, y'all. Again, I say rejoice. Amen. Amen.